This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Let's talk about America. How do we preserve it? In fact, let's talk about the globe itself. First, you know patriotism is a good thing. I know patriotism is a good thing. Now why? Why is patriotism? What makes it good? Well, because when you love something, you care for it and improve it. This is a conversation we've had before in different ways on this show. My house, my home, your apartment, wherever you live. If you walk in the door tonight and there's a dirty food wrapper sitting in front of you when you walk in the door, are you going to step over it? Just kick it to the side? Or are you going to bend down and pick it up and throw it away? You're going to bend down and pick it up and throw it away, but why? Well, you love your home. That's your home. If you see that same food wrapper on the floor in the DMV, maybe you'll be a good citizen and pick it up. Maybe you won't. But there's no love there. Love of country is very, very, very important. Now, let's say, speaking of your home, my home, let's say I'm an evil man and I want to take over your home. I want to take over your home because it'll improve my pocketbook. It'll give me more power. I need your home. I need it filled with people who aren't like you. And so, yes, you're going to be there. You'll be there. Your family will be there. Okay, I got it. There's four of you. I got it. But I got to bring some more people in. If I don't bring more people in, then my plan to take over your home is going to fail. There's just people who love the home in there. And you people won't just let me do what I want. I'm trying to remodel the kitchen. I'm trying to turn the backyard into a disco bar. And you're sitting there stopping me. So, where do I go? What do I do? Well, it's very simple. I just have to go find a bunch of people who don't love your home, don't have some deep connection to your home, and I have to bring those people into your home. Then, once you are outnumbered, you have no more say. I've paid the people I brought in off with food, money, and various things. Then, I can do what I want. This is not a new concept. It's not a modern concept. It's not even a communist concept. This is a historical concept. Tyrants have been doing this to their countries forever. When you have evil people who rise into positions of power in your country, and they don't love it, that's really the problem. They don't have patriotism. When they don't love it, well, they want to use the country to enrich themselves, to empower themselves. They don't look at America and think it's wonderful, I want to preserve it. They look at America as a gigantic bank to be looted. Look at all this money, look at all this power I can have. And you know what the tyrants in America and around the globe think? You know what they think about? You know what they fear? It's not nuclear weapons. It's not Islamic Jihad. It's not war itself. It's not Russia, China. You know what the tyrants of the Western world fear? You. There is one thing that occupies their fears, that occupies their mind, and that is the patriotic citizen. There is one entity on this planet that prevents these evil tyrants from taking their greedy fingers and stuffing it inside of the public treasury. It's you. So, if you are one of those tyrants, what to do? What to do? We have all these Americans with values. Geez, they believe in right and wrong. They know about the Constitution, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. They know about the great things this country has done. They go to church on Sunday. They speak to their neighbors. They're polite. What do we do about all these Americans? Go grab foreigners. And this, by the way, is actually not, as harsh as my language can be, an insult to whatever foreigner we may be talking about, although I'm happy to insult some if you would like. It's not about that at all. It's just a matter of loyalty. If you go pluck me out of Uganda and you bring me to the United States of America and you've brought me into a much better situation and you've paid for me, I get a free cell phone, free place at a hotel, nice little EBT card. You've paid for me to come here. Well, where's my loyalty going to lie? I don't know anything about the Constitution. Thomas Jefferson, World War II, wasn't my problem. Not my circus, not my monkey. Where's my EBT card? Who am I going to be loyal to? And probably more importantly, the 85 children I'm going to have with my wife, what am I going to teach them about the country in which they reside? You know, exactly. I'm going to play for you something we've played for you before on this show. Everybody has New York City on the brain right now because we're all going to sit back and watch in horror at the beginning of next year as Zohran Mamdani, the Islamist communist, starts to burn that city to the ground. But I'm going to play you a video of something. It's not Zohran Mamdani. It's Zohran Mamdani's father. And as you watch this video, I want you to keep in mind that this man came to the United States of America by our good graces under JFK. He came to the United States of America in 1963. About 5 minutes after he got here, he became a communist street activist. He has spent 60 years speaking like this in the United States of America.
Abraham Lincoln generalized the solution of reservations. They herded American Indians into separate territories. For the Nazis, this was the inspiration. Hitler realized two things. One, that genocide was doable. It is possible to do genocide. That's what Hitler realized. Second thing Hitler realized is that you don't have to have a common citizenship. You can differentiate between people. The Nuremberg laws were patterned after American laws. Anyway, the U.S. put Indians in reservations. The U.S. invented the model.
Why would you bring him here? But more importantly, why would you keep him here? A foreigner we welcome into our borders, speaking like that about our country, should be immediately deported. If you have made the mistake of giving him citizenship, then you simply denaturalize and you deport him. What happens, though, if you don't? What if you let him stay here? Well, what's going to happen is he's going to breed like the animal he is. When he has little animal babies, those little animal babies may grow up to take over the best city in the United States, the best city in the world. And when they give their victory speech at the end of that night, they'll know who to praise.
I speak of Yemeni bodega owners and Mexican abuelas, Senegalese taxi drivers and Uzbek nurses, Trinidadian line cooks and Ethiopian aunties. I am young, despite my best efforts to grow older. I am Muslim. I am a democratic socialist. And most damning of all, I refuse to apologize for any of this.
He doesn't need to apologize, you see. And by the way, I'm sure you know, we've talked about it already, American-born New Yorkers didn't vote for him. Foreign-born New Yorkers love him. Shoot, they're on camera talking about it.
This is the correct religion. This is the religion that all of humanity needs to be upon of Islam. And we will not stop until it enters every home. So I want you to repeat after me. I want to hear it in every single district. It should tremble. Brooklyn should hear it. The Bronx should hear it. Queens should hear it. Say it as if the Ummah depends on this, my brothers and sisters. La ilaha illallah. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah.
our politicians did this to us. They ripped your country up and handed it over to foreigners. They flood into this country. It's not just New York City. Midwestern towns filled up with people from Haiti and all over the place. And it was all simply done because of you. Because of you, your patriotism, your love of country. You are the one force on this planet stopping evil tyrants from tearing through the West. And they knew it. They've known it for decades. And so they throw open the borders of your country and allow barbarians to come in by the million, by the tens of millions. The barbarians breed more, and soon you wake up one day, you did all the right things, you worked hard, you went to college, you got a degree in a good profession, but you're back at home living with your mom and dad at 27 years old, you can't afford a house, you can't find a job, you can't afford healthcare, you're wondering what happened, what went wrong. Here's what went wrong. American politicians, Democrat and Republican, handed your country over to foreign barbarians to crowd you out. Oh, that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have a great show for you tonight. Have more next. I love potato chips. They're just freaking delicious. But what happens when you eat potato chips? What do your fingers look like when you're done eating potato chips? I know. Believe me, I know. You look at your fingers and they're just covered in grease. And then you look at the back of the bag and there's all these different ingredients. And you know, this is probably bad for me, right? And then your stomach starts telling you it's bad for you. Why don't you eat potato chips without the guilt? You don't have to get the side eye from your wife because you're eating potato. Vandy crisps. Vandy crisps aren't bad for you. And they're delicious. You're worried, I like multiple flavors. They have multiple flavors. My son freaks out for these. When there's a box of these that show up on our doorstep, he tries to take them and hide them in his room before I can get them. That's how delicious they are. Go get the chip you will love and you can eat guilt-free. VandyCrisps.com/JesseTV.
Just in this slice of New York City alone, we represent over 100 languages and cultures. We welcome people of all religions, faiths, and creeds. We honor all genders, races, orientations, and status. And here, we defend immigrants.
And that's the problem. Really, basically, everything she just said, that's the problem. Joining me now, William Wolf, Executive Director at the Center for Baptist Leadership. Hey, William, would you give us a little refresher on the Tower of Babel?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on here. So in Genesis, a bunch of people get together and they want to build a tower to heaven. They're essentially trying to make themselves God. And God doesn't like that, of course, because God is God. And so God comes down and is part of a curse on these people to prevent them. He confuses their languages so they can't communicate and they're scattered. It is a curse, and it led, quite frankly, to, you know, the nations that we know today.
Okay, William, we have this mass importation of foreigners into this country. It's been going on for decades. It wasn't just Joe Biden. He just turned it into overdrive. And now we have politicians in places like New York City campaigning for everybody but Americans. They say it in their victory speeches. Abigail Spanberger in Virginia. We have interview after interview. Well, I just got here from Kenya, and I think she's the best. How in the world did our politicians, Democrat and Republican, allow this to happen?
Yeah, well, this is really the fruits of what you could call the post-war consensus and open borders globalism. We decided that strong national identities were dangerous and that we needed to embark upon national programs to prevent them from ever solidifying again. And so America and the West, quite frankly, has been intentionally flooded by mass replacement migration to weaken and destabilize particularly the white Western Christian populations of Europe and America and recreate the third world. And the philosophy undergirding so much of this is anti-colonialism, which is just sort of a global form of wokeness. It's the idea that these colonial invaders are finally getting what's coming to them. We're going to colonize them now, except it won't be coherent. It will be 100 languages, 100 ethnicities, 100 races, and New York City is going to look like Mumbai.
But aren't we supposed to have a Republican Party? It's been around for my entire 44 years on this planet. Aren't we supposed to have a Republican Party that opposes such things? I understand Democrats are the scum of the earth and they want this stuff, but I constantly vote for people who I think will oppose it. So why do we have it?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, Jesse. I mean, I think until really the rise of MAGA and America First and Donald Trump, and this is one of the things I love about Trump. You go back and you watch his videos all the back in the 90s, he has been pro-America and Americans first for decades. But the Republican Party, captured by the Chamber of Commerce interests and NGOs, et cetera, they viewed the importation of the third world fundamentally as good for our economics. Green line goes up, even as our demographics descend into madness. And I think we're finally shaking off some of that inclination from the Republican Party, but it's still going to be a long fight.
There's a video, it's a couple years old, but it's making the rounds again, of an imam. Here he is.
One day you're going to be the president of the United States of America. No one, Koi Michael Ali, who can stop you from becoming a president. Dream big, have a vision. Change is coming to America. Let's work towards a Muslim mirror. Next election that comes in, nominate people for the school board of education. Next election that comes here, nominate people for the local township. Begin the demographics change. The other thing, children. Muslims have the highest population. Average, they did a Pew Foundation did a research study, Pew Foundation, and they said that Muslim household average is 3.4 child per family. The white American has one child per family. We're already beating the march. Because these are voters. These are not just babies being born in hospitals. These are voters. That's the way a politician looks at it. We have to change the framework and start looking at things from a different lens, different angle for future.
William, they're very honest about it. These videos, like, we could play 3 hours of these videos and you and I could riff about it, but they're very honest about it. Yet the West, specifically the Christian West, won't stand up and say no. Why?
Yeah, so the Muslim population in the United States of America has tripled since 9/11. To say that we forgot the lessons that we should have learned that day would be an overstatement. And when you dig into the pollings, one of the most important things for all the Muslim immigrants coming to the United States, whether they vote Republican or Democrat, which most of them do vote Democrat, is that America stays open to increased immigration. And really what's happened here, Jesse, and you know, I'm a Christian theologian and a political commentator as well, is that we have lost the will to fight for the Christian West and bought into the lie that all religions are equal and there's no difference. But the historical record proves that wrong. The Christians have been fighting against Muslims for decades, and they haven't stopped, even if they're going about it differently today.
Are the churches starting to wake up? I'm sure you and I could riff for a while about the feminization of America's churches and what they had become, but is that starting to change? Are churches starting to find their footing, especially in the wake of things like Charlie Kirk's martyrdom?
Well, I certainly hope they are, and that's what we're working for here at Center for Baptist Leadership. The Great Commission in Matthew 28, before Jesus leaves his disciples, this is really important. It says, therefore, go into all the nations. It does not say, therefore, welcome all the nations to you. The church has had really bad political theology on the importance of nation states for the last many decades. But I do think that is changing, particularly as what's unfolding in Europe is happening before our eyes. You have to bury your head in the sand as a Christian pastor and say, yes, we want more Muslims in our country, because what's happening in Nigeria right now, the deadliest nation on earth for Christians right now because of the Fulani Islamic terrorists, it could happen here in the United States in a few short decades. So I think, yes, they are waking up some, but there's a lot of work left to do on that front as well.
William, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We have to talk about these visas. It's not just illegal immigration. Legal immigration is a big, big problem. Next. I love feeling good all the time. I'll tell you what I love. I love having energy. Because for a while, 5 years ago, I would say, get home from work, maybe you go through this, end of the day, you're out of gas. Just kind of want to sit out, let's watch some TV. Or you just want to sit. You know what it's like to get home from work now and be ready to go? Hey, let's go for a walk. Let's go out. That's what Chalk will do for you. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk. They have things for men. They have things for women. They have things for workout. But they even have an all-natural pre-workout. The best natural herbal supplements I've ever had in my life. Go to chalk.com/JesseTV and look at what they have. I personally, I take a male vitality stack every day. They have female vitality stacks, chocolate powder. Go experience what it's like to have energy all the time. Chalk.com/JesseTV. It's not just illegal immigration. This is something the right has been pathetic on for so long. We've used terms like it should be high walls but big gates. But legal immigration doesn't suddenly become magical because some politician decides it's legal. That's insane. What is it with this H-1B visa program and so much more? Joining me now, James Fishback, CEO of Invest Azoria. Okay, James, let's talk about the H-1B visa program. Most people don't really understand it. What is it?
Well, Jesse, very simply, this is a program that came about in the early 1990s, signed into law by President H.W. Bush, and it was based on a big fat lie. The lie was that there was a skills gap, that Americans were not smart enough, that we were dumb and we were lazy. We all know who talks about Republicans and Americans like that. And the idea was, because there was a gap of highly trained, highly skilled Americans, that we needed to import cheap foreigners from India and China. And here we are nearly 35 years later with the H-1B program. And you've got firms like Accenture and Deloitte not hiring fresh out of college accounting graduates, of which there are 50,000 a year, and instead hiring some cheap foreign labor from Mumbai or Shanghai. Very simply, these companies don't want to pay the market rate for American talent. Americans are more than qualified, but they don't want to hire Americans. In fact, Jesse, they won't even advertise their jobs for Americans or interview an American whatsoever. It's a very simple, I guess, radical concept to some, even in the Republican Party, but American jobs are for Americans. Americans deserve to be able to contribute. They are hungry, they are qualified, they are eager to work, and the H-1B program steals them of their jobs and hands it to a foreigner.
Let's go back to the very beginning of this law that George H.W. signed. You said it was based on a lie, and it obviously was. Who told the lie? It's no small thing to get legislation through the House of Representatives, through the Senate, and have it plopped down on the Senate's desk. That probably wasn't one or two guys. Who was behind all this?
Well, the truth is, it was some of the largest companies in the country that thought it was a great idea to sell our sovereignty for a quick buck. The idea was, the lie was that they couldn't find Americans who are qualified. No. They could find them. They just weren't willing to pay what an honest day's labor was worth. And so they said their great idea for boosting their profit margins another 10 or 15% was to be able to open up what's somewhat of a euphemism, the global pool of, if we could only have a more competitive global marketplace, we could, of course, deliver better results. No, you could deliver better profits by firing an American, forcing them to train their replacement, a replacement who came directly from the Middle East or Asia or India. It doesn't matter. And this goes back to a very simple idea, Jesse. What is the purpose of the American government? Who does the American government serve? I am an unapologetic supporter of the America First movement, but the America First movement has to focus on Americans. If the America First movement is about do whatever it takes to boost our GDP or take the stock market to all-time highs, that is going to be a rejection by the voters. It has to put American workers first. And this is an idea, by the way, that a lot of Democrats themselves support. And so I look at the utter humiliation our party faced in New Jersey, Virginia, and of course in New York with that little communist. We've got to speak to Americans who voted for President Trump, gave him a historic mandate. We got to put them first. And the best way to do that is to end the H-1B scam and take it even a step further, Jesse. Deport every single H-1B worker in this country. They came here on a lie, on a false pretense that Americans are not qualified. We know that's not the case.
Is that something we can do? Can we get these people deported? Because you read these stories like Disney bringing in thousands of people to train their replacement. It's just awful. Can we get them out, or is that unrealistic?
No, it's not unrealistic at all. The United States Congress can do this at any time. And so this debate about the filibuster this and the filibuster that, I'm sorry, but the do-nothing Republicans in Congress need to accept the fact that they had an opportunity to introduce legislation on this and a lot of other things, and they didn't do it because they were too busy whining on the internet, whether it was in tweets, podcasts, or on national TV. The truth of the matter is this falls in the hands of the federal government, but some governors, no, not some, just one governor, Ron DeSantis, last week stepped up and actually cares about workers in my home state of Florida. And he pulled the plug on the H-1 and B scam in a very unique way. He said that for the public colleges and universities like Florida State, UF, FAU, that they could no longer hire H-1Bs. They could no longer fire a qualified American and replace them with a cheap foreigner from the third world. Ron DeSantis is standing up against the great replacement of American workers. And I wish the do-nothing Republicans in Congress would put down their phones, stop going on Fox News every other day, and actually speak up for Americans, because we are being replaced in our own country.
What are the other problems that come with legal immigration? Obviously, everybody knows, well, I should say most people know the problems of illegal immigration. It's not hard to figure that out. But so many of the normies out there still think, well, I mean, as long as it's legal, it's fine. Is it fine, James?
No, it's not fine, because who decides that it's legal? Who decides what is legal for something called lawful but awful? Yes, it is in fact true. I hate to give it to the fake news, but it is in fact true that the tens of thousands of Haitians in Springfield were not here illegally. They were here legally. They were granted temporary protected status in Haiti because Haiti's a total basket case. And so we get this grand, wide-scale temporary protected asylum status to all of these people, and they come here. But they steal jobs, they steal taxpayer benefits, they sit in emergency rooms and get health care on our dime. That is wrong. I don't care if it's legal, so-called legal immigration. Even if it's lawful, it is awful. No one voted for this. And so with all due respect to people like Congressman Byron Donalds, who's running for Florida governor, it's not a time to be defending legal immigration that he says that, quote, we want anyone from anywhere to come and contribute to America. The truth is, no. You can't contribute to America. You have to stand up for Americans. There are job takers and job makers, and we should not accept a single immigrant until every single American who wants a job has one. That's the truth, and that's how we win in 2026.
Okay, so if that's the kind of thing Byron Donalds is campaigning on, are there enough people in this country we've brought into this country, as well as our domestic morons, where that is appealing to the voter, or is that something the voter will reject? Please tell me it's the latter.
It is something the voter will reject, because we were invaded. We were absolutely invaded. And I got to tell you, illegal immigration is just the tip of the iceberg. When you have programs like H-1B or F-1 or EB-2 or TPS, all of this alphabet soup of acronyms, this is just a euphemism for screwing over the American worker. The idea that Afghani refugees are here and are here legally and somehow that makes it okay, that we turn around in our own country, we are being replaced, that does not make it okay. So the fact that it is, quote, legal because a bunch of Republicans and Democrats got behind closed doors and decided that the Democrats wanted to import the next generation of voters and Republicans wanted to appease their donors, that does not make it okay.
James, are these people getting SNAP benefits, EBT benefits?
They are. They absolutely are. And so there's two things to this. The first is that they say that illegal immigrants can't get SNAP or EBT. One, that's a lie. But two, the legal immigrants absolutely can and do get these benefits. That's the problem, Jesse. 46% of Afghani refugees are on SNAP. 52% of Senegalese, 25% of Haitians. We were told this lie that you come to Ellis Island, you pull yourself up by the bootstraps, and you only contribute, you never take. The truth is, Ellis Island, the modern day Ellis Island, they're handing out Obama phones and SNAP EBT cards. This is wrong, this is unacceptable. They are stealing from us. And who is the they, Jesse? It is Democrats and establishment Republicans. It's time we have to be honest about that. We are facing an existential crisis. After what happened, where we were utterly humiliated with our elections, we are going to lose the midterms, and they are going to impeach President Trump, defund ICE, and reopen the border if we lose. And it's time to get serious and get real and put America first.
James, thank you. I appreciate it, brother. Tommy Robinson, I can't wait to talk to him. Next. I love not paying Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile anymore. You know, I've had all three of them. Isn't that terrible? My first cell phone company was AT&T, switched to Verizon, then switched to T-Mobile. So I've had them all. I'm not judging you, but man, when I've looked at their political activism, all the ESG, DEI filth, it kind of saddens me to know that I funded all that. Every month, sitting there, paying my bill on my cell phone, funding communism. I don't do that anymore. I'd switched to Pure Talk, the company led by a Vietnam veteran. Two tours with Mac V. Sog in Vietnam, the company that hires Americans. And boy, is that rare anymore. All these other companies, they love to farm out American jobs, not Pure Talk. When you get a hold of Pure Talk, you'll talk to an American. Switch your cell phone service. You'll save money. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV.
Well, there are many parallels that New York and London have, and there are many parallels that Zohran and I have. And congratulate the city of New York. They've chosen, in a bitterly contested election, hope over fear, unity over division. And I'm already experiencing the ripples of hope and happiness coming from his victory.
Well, that's wonderful news. Here I was concerned, but it turns out hope in unity. That's what's in store for New York City. Let's check in on that with our friend Tommy Robinson, wonderful journalist who has risked a lot and suffered a lot. Hey, Tommy, what's the hope and unity situation like in London right now? I just want to know what's coming to New York.
Don't carry a phone. Don't walk the streets alone if you're a female. Robins everywhere, stabbings everywhere, crime up, rape up, every criminal factor up since Sadiq Khan took over. There's your hope. You need to hope to stay alive. You need to hope not to get robbed. Hope to keep your wallet. Yeah, well done.
Tommy, it's so frustrating to watch it happening here because so many people on our side, friends of mine, we've looked at what you have gone through, what the UK is going through, and we said, man, that we can't let that happen here. We can't let that happen here. But it seems like it is. It's wild that civilization can't stop this. Why couldn't you stop it? Why can't we?
Because the people, when the Twin Towers were attacked, that's a very different population of New Yorkers to what now New York is. It's very different. The demographic has totally changed, and many people are voting based on their racial or religious backgrounds. That's what you've imported. The same as what we've imported. We will never get rid of Sadiq Khan now. Every problem is up. He's done nothing for London, but he gets elected again and again. And it's like, to watch it happening in New York, do I think it's a good thing? I think the rest of America needs to see it. I think the rest of the United States needs to see it on your homegrown soil, unfortunately, because it's no longer, I can't understand that you in the United States have not looked to Europe, seen our rape gangs. Sadiq Khan is about to be exposed now for 9,000 hidden rape cases, yeah, that have plagued our capital city that he's been part of a cover-up for. Now, I can't believe that you'd sit in the United States, you'd look at the demographic problems with Islamic immigration in Britain, in France, in Germany, you'd see the continued riots, you'd see the total non-integration and assimilation, you'd watch all of that, and you'd allow exactly the same. I can't believe that you can't just look there and think, Well, let's look where Europe's failing and let's solve that problem. But instead, you have to understand that we have different types of jihad. You've got a different type of jihad that's just been launched in the United States, and it's won through economy, through money, through politics, and you're seeing the fruition of that. You're seeing the problems from that right now. And you're going to see it. And the next 4 years, you'll see it. So,
Tommy, can you expand on the jihad part of that? Because this is something I've touched on very briefly before. When people think of jihadis, they, of course, think of some psycho with a nail bomb strapped to his chest. But it doesn't always take that form. Can you explain what you mean?
You have different organizations. So, for example, in the UK, you'd have ISIS, and then you'd have Hizbut Tahrir. You have the Muslim Brotherhood. You'd have CARE. You'd have organizations like this in the United States, yeah? So you have different forms of jihad, but they have the same end goal. So ISIS's end goal is an Islamic caliphate. They will use violence and extreme violence to get their goal. Other forms in the UK, like Hizbut Tahrir, will infiltrate organizations, institutions, and they will work endlessly and tirelessly for the same goal. For example, the gentleman who's just been elected to now be the mayor of New York, that they are working for the goals of Islam, for the dominance of Islam. Many of his team, many of his supporters, just listen to what they say. You don't have to listen to what I say. You just listen to what they say. They tell us quite openly. But in the UK, we had an organization called Hizbut Tahrir. When about 2006 or 2007, they had a conference with 10,000 people at it. Now, their end goal, Hizbut Tahrir's end goal, it is an Islamic caliphate. They wish to change Britain to an Islamic caliphate, a world caliphate. Now, the Labour Party and the Conservative Party couldn't get 10,000 activists at a conference. That's how big this group were. They then splintered into lots of little organisations to go under the radar, but they work tirelessly within universities. It's what you're seeing. You see the hate that you're witnessing coming out of your universities. It's because caliphate-minded organisations, Muslim Brotherhood-funded, Qatari-funded organisations, are controlling the Islamic societies in your universities in the United States of America, same as ours. Your prison system currently is being taken over. They are converting and working their way through and building an army in the United States prison system whilst we're asleep. Europe was asleep, but you don't need to be asleep, America. You can look at us and learn. We can tell you what's going on. We can give you the game plan 30 years ahead. You do not need to let your country get to the state of ours.
Okay, I want to zero in on a couple things. We'll get to the timeline in a moment. You mentioned funded. Where does the origin of all this money begin? It's not cheap to have an organization here, an organization there. They have three in the UK. We have five. This stuff costs money. Who's the one writing the check?
Qatar spent nearly £1 billion influencing Islam in Europe. Nearly £1 billion. Now, what Qatar used to do, yeah? And they have been influential in dividing France into Islamic ghettos, influencing the madrasas, influencing the mosque. They are the problem. It's Qatari money. Now, if you look at Qatar, what they used to do, to influence places in Europe, they'd fund madrasas, they'd fund mosques, and they'd fund something like, I'll give you an example. My hometown that has a shop called Discover Islam. It's a shop in our shopping center, in our town center, called Discover Islam. It's a charity funded from Saudi and Qatar at the time. Saudi and Qatar money coming in, and their job is to convert the town to Islam. So that's where the money used to be. And conversions used to happen on the streets of the UK with dawah stalls. So there's lots of Islamic charities and they fund people to go out onto the streets. So pretty much every single city in the UK, you've got them in New York, will have stalls set up where they'll have Qurans, they'll have leaflets, and their job is to bring people to Islam, to increase the spread of Islam. Now that used to be the game plan, Jesse. Now the game plan is influencers. Now the game plan is social media. Now it's SNCO in the United States. Now it's converting, whether it's for money or influence, converting, paying for social media posts, influencing the public discourse and the narrative, whether it be on the United States, Britain, Israel, whatever it is, Qatar is in the middle of all of it.
Okay, Qatar. I'm sorry, I hate to go down this rabbit hole, Tommy, but I'm very interested in not going through what you guys are sadly going through. I don't want to go to prison like you have bravely gone. Qatar, What's their motive? Are they just a jihadi government and that's their thing? That's their main motivation? What is it?
It's about spreading Islam for worldwide domination. It's about influencing Islam. It's about, and that's what they've been doing for a very long time. I'll give you an example. I walked into Al Jazeera News. I walked into Al Jazeera News to do an interview. Now, when I walked into Al Jazeera News, I went through an airport-style security system. And when I got up onto air, I got up onto the interview, I was outraged, if I'm honest. Because I said, the security you have in your building, the jihadist attacks that we're witnessing across the West, in European nations, in France, are coming because of the money that you as a state are pushing into extremist radical jihadist groups across the Muslim Brotherhood. Anyone can go in and read the Muslim Brotherhood's plan for the United States of America. You can read their plan. Again, no one needs to listen to Tommy Robinson. Read the Muslim Brotherhood's plan for the United States of America. Look at where you was 10 years ago. Look at New York and where you're at now and ask if it's going to plan. Look at your cities. Look at Michigan. Look at what's happening. Look at the influence. And you see with Islam in America, this is where you really need to wake up. Because when they get such a voting block like they do in my country, they use democracy to end democracy. That's what they'll do. What comes first? Ask any Muslim politician. What comes first to you? Is it the United States? Ask that mayor what comes first to him. First, it's Islam. It's Islam first, Islam second, Islam third. It's not democracy. It's not freedom. It's not the Constitution. It's Islam.
Tommy, finally, I got to let you go. But I want to know, where are you at with this whole trials, prison? You're in prison. You're out of prison. They're always trying to throw you in prison for speaking the truth. Are you finally scot-free or are you in bad shape?
So, Jesse, 2 days ago, I had a court case for terrorism charges. The judge ruled that I was targeted because of my political beliefs. He found everything the police had done unlawful. This is the second case in 18 months that a judge has handed down a damning verdict telling the police to stop targeting me, unlawfully prosecuting me. I've had to go through trial. I would like to say a thank you whilst I'm on to the United States. It took Elon Musk. Elon Musk funded my fight and my legal fight. We overturned it. I was facing prison. If Elon Musk did not step in, I'd be in prison right now. And you know, this is the mad thing, Jesse. The mainstream media come to court. They watched a 2-day trial. They didn't report any of the facts. Now, at the end of the trial, the verdict come from the judge, which slammed the police. But the media didn't report any of it. They were hoping for another politicized verdict. I still face another prosecution in 12 months. For more bogus charges, where I faced 10 years in prison for my journalism. So, but as I said, America, you need to wake up. You need to look and learn. And really, do you know how quickly it can change? Like New York, it can change like that. Trust me. Wake up. This is the biggest fight of your country and its future ever. Ever. You don't understand the influence they will have, the numbers they will grow, how they will get into the political parties, how they will influence the government, how your police and everyone will pander to them. You'll see it in New York now. Everyone gets scared of them. So you need to wake up.
Tommy, blessings, my brother. Appreciate you. I have final thoughts. Next. We have to set aside this insane concept, this non-biblical concept about being nice. We have to be nice. We have to be nice. Everybody should come here. Everyone should get a chance. Everyone should come here. That way of thinking has been used against us. And there's a reason now Democrats run commercials in foreign languages in this country. There's a reason now. Democrats have chosen to replace black people in poor neighborhoods with illegals. Evil tyrants throughout history, this isn't unique to our time, as I said in the open, evil tyrants throughout history have recognized that foreigners are what we want here. These patriotic citizens, they're going to hold us back from doing all the terrible things we want to do, but if we can just open up the borders, let's appeal to how nice they want to be. Let's reference a Bible verse, maybe. Let's appeal to how nice they want to be, and then let's bring in as many new recruits as humanly possible. And once they bring in enough, you heard Tommy Robinson earlier, once they bring in enough, it's over. I really hate to say it like that, but let's be honest. I keep asking this question to my friends in the UK, but it's probably over. Once they're in, you're toast. Demand it from your Republican politicians, not just on the campaign trail. Demand it. Deport, deport, deport. Close the doors. We'll do it again.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.